A little bit of a note about your notes this morning. I sat down by my wife and lovingly and tenderly, she reached over and said, "You preached this last week." And I don't know what I'd do without Libby's input. Well, the good news is,
she's right.
You got your notes too, don't you? Well, I wanted you not to panic when you see the notes, because this morning what I'm going to do is a little bit different than what we've been doing on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. You have in your bulletin, in your study worship guide, really messages number 7 through 9 of our 17-point series on the abundant living that Christ has provided for the believer. And in fact, in John 10:10, that's our key text. "I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And this is the first time that I've done a sermon series just quite like this that I can recall. But altogether, there are 17 points, 17 principles that I want us to look at and then apply to our personal lives about what it means to walk in the abundant life that the Lord has provided for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. And today's notes that you have are the message from last week, but a part of my review of the first 9 messages I preached in this series. And so that'll kind of get us caught up. And I'll do, I think, messages 10, 11, and 12 tonight in the services. But let's look together again one more time at the passage that's the key passage of our series now on the abundant life of the believer in Christ. John 10:10. Jesus is, of course, sharing, and there are those that have gathered around to hear Him preach and teach. And Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." One of the things I've asked the Lord to do is, Lord, help us to understand and get a hold of the significance of this brief and simple yet incredibly significant passage that Jesus shares about abundant life in Christ. More than just knowing that we're going to go to heaven, thank God for blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Thank God for the wonderful assurance that if you're saved, we have a home in heaven. Thank the Lord that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And God's so good to us. But the Lord always also wants us to be aware of the fact that He not only has a home for us to heaven, a home for us in heaven, and He's preparing a place for us, and we're saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to enjoy the journey along the way. He wants us to discover what it means to walk in the abundant life in Christ. And I want us to take just a brief moment or two and look at the principles we've looked at the last few weeks that have included the first 6 principles of the biblical principles for abundant living in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you've been with us for these few weeks, you probably have these notes. If you don't have these notes and you'd like to have them, all you got to do is call the church office, and Stacy would be glad to make you some notes of all these messages that we've shared. And I want to say thank you to Stacy for the great job you do. In fact, when I was on the phone with her this week, she was calling to verify what I was preaching. She said lovingly and caringly and sweetly, "You'd remember you have done this already, don't you?" So I don't know what I would do without the loving encouragement of the ladies around me that God's given. I love you gals. Y'all are a blessing. So don't worry about trying to take notes this morning. You're, of course, always welcome to do that. But I want us to look at some of the principles that the Lord has already shared with us, these biblical life principles about abiding in Christ. And let's just walk through these for a moment together and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. First of all, abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. In John chapter 15, Jesus talked about it, except you abide in me. That word abide means to be steadfastly and firmly entrenched and implanted. It means to stand still and not be moved. Jesus is saying, unless you bring forth fruit, unless you abide, you cannot bring forth fruit. One of the things the Lord wants us to be aware of and know is that He saved us for a purpose. He saved us to honor Him and to glorify Him and bring Him honor and majesty and praise. And one of the things that does that is we manifest the love of God in Christ. And people ought to see us and see the way that we live and the way that we act. And they ought to want to be a part of the kingdom that we know about as the kingdom of heaven. We ought to be walking testimonies and walking examples of what Jesus wants God's people to become and to be. So a part of the abundant life in Christ is abiding in Christ, staying by the stuff. I think one of the things that has been most disappointing to me through the years, and it's just a part of life, is folks that used to be faithful and serve the Lord and used to be committed to the kingdom of God, and for whatever reason they've dropped by the wayside, and so for whatever reason they've ceased to become to be burning lights and torches of God's glory and grace. I want to finish my race well. I want you to finish your race well. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to say, Lord, when we get into your presence, I don't know all that's going to happen, but I'd love to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. It means to be unshakably fixed and standing for the Lordship of Christ. Abiding in biblical life principles, abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. Number two, the biblical life principle that we talked about is obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, it's wonderful to sing beautifully. It's wonderful to be able to speak. It's wonderful to serve in various areas. But the truth is, the Lord wants us to be obedient servants of His. And He's laid out for us in the Word of God. That Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's given us the wonderful Word of God to direct us in knowing what it means to obey and walk with the Lord. So ask yourself the question, am I obedient in every area of my life? Obedient in the sins of, in the things, in the commandments of God, the thou shalt, the thou shalt not, the things that God has already told us He wants us to be and to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and there's abundant life and victory in Christ when we commit ourselves to being obedient sons and daughters of Christ. Number three, God's Word is essential to our Christian growth. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, the hidden in my heart, that I may not, what, church? Sin against thee. And so, one of the biblical principles of life principles is God uses His word to not only give us understanding of His will, but direction in His way. Walk in the light as He is the light. And the light is the light shed by the wonderful word of God. We're talking about biblical life principles. Abiding in Christ is the highest priority of the believer. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God's word is essential to our Christian growth. By the way, there is no substitute for the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God finding its way into our hearts and then being manifested through our obedient walk with the Lord Jesus. Thy word again, if I hid it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I love the Word, and the longer I live, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, the songwriter said. But the sweeter His Word grows, and as I read the Bible, I'm amazed at how God speaks to my heart, how God speaks to my need, and God has personalized the truth of the wonderful Scripture to let me know His will and His way for my life. Biblical life principles include, number four, I love this one, love them all. Contentment is found in learning to bloom where you're planted. Paul, writing from a Roman prison, wrote to the church at Philippi and said, I am content in whatever state I'm in.
Tennessee.
to be content, even in Tennessee. By the way, I want you to know that today I hope the Lord blessed you. And this is not the most spiritual thing I'll say today, but I hope that you've been able to come to church and be happy in Jesus, regardless of who your team is. I kind of feel sometimes like when we start church on Sunday, we ought to have a time of, Lord, bless those who are brokenhearted. Aren't you glad we can come to church and get our mind on stuff that's real? I mean, it's really, really real. Biblical life principles. God's word is essential. Contentment is found in learning to bloom where you're planted. Have you ever realized that sometimes we're guilty of looking at other folks and envying them because we feel like they may have the perfect life, the perfect family, the perfect career, the perfect job, the perfect whatever it may be? The truth is, you don't really know what they're experiencing. You don't know what kind of road they're traveling. But the truth is that contentment is in a personal relationship with and a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be able to sing that song that often I reference, Every Day with Jesus. It's what, church? Sweeter than the day before. Every day I love Him. I love Him more and more. So, contentment is found in learning to bloom where you're planted. And in fact, one of the things as a young preacher, a long, long time ago, I used to really look at these pastors of big, big churches and think, Lord, I'd like to do that one day. I referenced that a little bit last Sunday, I think. But the truth is not in the size of the church that you go to. It's the size of the Jesus in your heart and in your life. And the peace that passeth all understanding will get you through the storms of life, regardless of where you serve. Your resume may not be as significant as somebody else's. Your background may not be as noticeable. But the truth is, you're created in the image of God, and God's got a plan for you and a purpose for you and for me. And contentment is found in blooming where you're planted, not where you think somebody else is. Principle number five. I love principle number five. God's will is always best, even when we don't understand it. Now, God's will is always best. It's easy to say amen. But then we get to the last part, even when we don't understand it. You ever had a time you really didn't understand God's will? Maybe you got laid off of a job, or maybe you've gone through a difficult time with your loved ones, or maybe there's been an illness in the family, or the passing of a loved one, or any of a number of other things that could have happened. The truth is, God's will encompasses all of God's will, and God, from the time before we were conceived until the time God called us home, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. And even when we don't understand it, by the way, that plan will sometimes include suffering. Let me give you a little example. In the Bible, there's a gentleman whose life is plagued by life's difficulties, life's sorrows, and life's pain. Do y'all remember what his name is? Job. Have you ever thought about what our lives would be like without Job? If we didn't have Job to read about his story, and sometimes I use my imagination. What if we could have a service and call some of the people back from the Bible and have them share their testimony? Job, tell us about your story. Well, I lost all my family. I lost all my friends. I lost all my influence in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord told me to take my family and flee the city because He was going to send a fire and destroy it. And I've lost everything. But Job, how did you deal with that? How did you reckon that with your relationship with the Lord? Job might have said, I learned to keep my eyes on Jesus. I learned to keep my eyes on Jehovah God because I learned by the way God gave him a bigger. By the way, did you know God doubled Job's number of children that he had? He doubled the number of camels he had. He doubled the number of donkeys he had. And he doubled all of his possessions. And Job discovered, God gave me more than I ever could have had before when I stayed faithful to Him. God's will is always best, even when we don't understand it. Principle number 6. We reap what we sow. We all know this to be true. We reap more than we sow. We reap later than we sow. Galatians 6, 7, and 9 through 9. I want to sow the seed of faith, the seed of obedience. I want to sow the seed of faithfulness in the things of God. And I want to finish my race well, because the Bible says, and by the way, all of us reap what we sow. We reap later than we sow. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. So if you want to have a delightful, blessed life in Christ, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Reach out and bless somebody else in Jesus' name. Be an encourager in the Word of God. Walk in faith and obedience. Biblical life principles. We reap what we sow. Last Sunday, we took just a moment and we looked at these next 3, 7, 8, and 9. And I want to mention them briefly this morning. Number 7. The dark moments of life will last only as long as is necessary for God to accomplish His purpose in us. God has not forgotten you, your difficulty, and your hurt, and your heartache. God's not oblivious to or unaware of the pain, the suffering that you're going through and that I may be facing. The truth is, we've got a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father who knows about, cares about, understands about the dark moments in life. And have you ever had that time in life when you thought, Lord, will this ever get better? Will the sun ever shine again? Will I ever laugh again? Will I ever sing again? Will I ever rejoice in the Lord again? The Lord understands that. He says, hang on, dear child. Joy comes in the morning. And one of these days, we're going to hear the sweet voice of Jesus and see the face of our Lord. And it should eclipse all the hurt and all the heartache and all the sorrow and all the pain that we've ever experienced. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. The dark moments of life will last only as long as is necessary. One of these days, when we stand in the presence of majesty and glory and holiness, the presence of our Lord, all the stuff of life that caused such hurt and heartache will be but a fleeting memory and eclipsed in the light and the presence of the Lord. Principle number 8. I remember preaching this briefly last week and seeing some of your faces really light up when we got to this point. Life's battles are won in the war room of prayer. With prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. There's a quiet place, a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin does not molest, near to the heart of God. A place called prayer. A place called heaven. The war room of prayer has been referred to. The time alone with God. And I hope that you've got a consistent, faithful, committed time of aloneness with the Lord in prayer. Because Paul says, with everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Life's battle are best won in the war room of prayer. You find, you know, I love that old song, Victory in Jesus. Yes. I love the old story of Jesus and His glory. But the victory that we have in our Lord is, no matter what battles you're facing, Jesus already knows the outcome. He'll get you through. Keep your eyes on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then number 9, which brings us to this morning. Faith is trusting God's heart before you see God's hand. It's trusting God's heart before you see God's hand. In other words, don't give up, sweet child. I think about Jonah. Jonah was a pretty good Baptist. He knew where the Lord wanted him to go, but he decided to go a different direction. He'd help the Lord out. He'd do things a little bit differently because he knew better. He knew he didn't want to go where the Lord wanted him to go. Now, folks, any time that you argue with God about being obedient, you're always going to lose that argument. Because God knows best. And life's battles are won in the prayer room, in the war room of prayer. And trusting God's heart before you see God's end. What did you find out in the belly of the whale? What did you find out about God's grace? Well, God's bigger than the great fish. God's wiser than any of us could possibly be. What did he learn? He probably learned it never pays to turn your back on the Lord. Let me just give you a little example. Stay with me on this one, will you? We had the wonderful privilege and the joy and the unspeakable blessing of trying to raise three lovely, gifted, beautiful, intelligent children. They take after their mama. They do. But did you ever have a time? I remember, by the way, when kids are going to, they think you're dumb. They think we don't know anything. One day, Jamie came home, and I don't know, he was probably a sophomore in high school, I guess, something like that. And he came home, and he started up the stairs in our house toward his room, and I noticed something different about his hair. His hair not only was flipped up in the back, but it was bright yellow. Not just blonde, bright yellow. And I said, "Son, what have you done to your hair?" And children must think we are stupid. He said, "Daddy, I had some batteries in my shirt pocket. And they leaked and they made my hair yellow." Now that's at least creative, amen? Well, you know what he'd done. He'd bleached his hair. Who do you think's not going to notice when you bleach your hair? It's bright yellow. But sometimes we think God's not going to find out. And it doesn't matter. The truth is, you sure your sins will find you out. Biblical life principles for abundant life. Tonight, in the service, we're going to deal with Numbers 10, 11, and 12. But let me just make a note here, and we're done this morning. God's will is knowable, good, well-pleasing, and perfect. God's will is knowable, you know it. It's good, it's well-pleasing, and it's perfect. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, Paul said to the church at Rome, "I beseech you that you present your bodies living sacrifice, that you may know what is the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God." God wants us to understand His will. He wants us to walk in His will and His word and to trust Him through it all. I love this one. God assumes full responsibility for meeting our needs when we trust Him and obey Him. "Our God shall provide all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God knows your need better than you know it. And thank God, for He's a God of perfect supply. And then lastly, peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. John 14, "I've come that you might have peace and have it more abundantly." Peace and more abundantly. What can give you peace in the midst of the storm? Jesus. Who can get you through life's sorrows and heartaches? Jesus. And one of life's great principles is the biblical life principles. God wants you to discover His very best as you walk with Him in faith and surrender in the yielded life. And what you don't understand, give Him time. He'll help you to understand more in your timing or in His timing than you understand now. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Walk in obedience and faith. Discover what it means to have the abiding joy of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you bow with me for a moment?